Bibles up to 2 Kings 15, where we have another lesson on the kings. We're going to cover Azariah, or his other name, Uzziah. He's the king of Israel. So let's take an introduction to him. 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, that's Jeroboam II, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Only the high places were not taken away. People still sacrificed to burn incense on the high places. His name meant Jehovah is strength. Now remember, that's what his name means. Jehovah is strength. They told him to do something as a child. Jehovah is strength. Now, every time he heard his name, that's what he should be thinking. Things have changed as we move through time. But at age 16, when most of the kids were maybe having a paper route delivering pizzas or something, he became king for all of Judah in 791 B.C. And Azariah is simply another name for Uzziah, so when we get to the Chronicles account, that's when you see Uzziah mentioned. And he came to power at a difficult time. His father had just been slain due to a military failure as a result of going after other gods, the gods of Edom. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 20. There seemed not to be a reason why his mother was mentioned there, other than the fact that his wife and his sire came through. I think that might be one reason why it's mentioned. I could find significance. Like most kings of this era, though, the people were addicted to their false gods, and they sought to continue no matter who was on. It's like you could have one of the best people become president. You could have, like, one of the apostles become president of the United States. That doesn't change the heart of people. And I'm sure he kept things clean in his own house and those around his house and those in his circle, but he can't carry the faith of everyone. He has to do it for himself. And the people still had their high places back in the woods. Going to change that. Then you get to verse 5. It said, the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death and lived in a separate house while Joseph, the king's son, was over the household judging the people of the land. Now in 2 Kings' account, we're quickly introduced to the fact that Uzziah, he got leprosy. God struck him with it. We don't know a whole lot at this point why that happened. We'll have to leave it there. But this will go to the heart of the lesson by the time we go over to the Chronicles account. And then we're told in 2 Kings 15, verses 6 through 7 of his death. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Yep, they are. I checked. And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city with his fathers in the city of David. And Jotham became king in his place. So he was born, he ruled, he got leprosy, he died. His son, Jotham, was a co-regent with him. That's really all we know. And so it's a good thing that there's more written in 2 Chronicles, which if you're reading this account here, it's telling us to go and read that. So let's go ahead and do that. Open your Bibles up to 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. In this account, it said he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. When he started his kingship as a teen, he tried to use the vision of God by seeking him in his decisions. I don't know about you. If you had a 16-year-old and that was where his heart was, Wouldn't that be, that'd be the bee's knees, as they would say. That's what you want your 16-year-old to be doing. Seeking God, looking to be prosperous in Him. That was Uzziah. He was living up to his name about Jehovah's strength, because he was putting his trust in God. And whenever a people of God seek out His will to be in their lives, prosperity always follows. It may not come in the form of a new car or a house or something, but God will give you exactly what you need to know that you're prosperous. He will always do that. You may not end up on the lifestyles of the rich and famous. You might live in the lifestyles of the poor, but you'll be happy because God will see to it that your ends will meet. Proverbs 13:21 says, adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. In Proverbs 28:25, an arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts the Lord will prosper. That's a guarantee. We're told if we're going to trust God, we will prosper. We acknowledge Him in all His ways, He will direct our paths. That's a promise. Trust Him and watch where He takes you. Elihu wisely reminded Job in Job 36:11, if they hear and serve Him, they will end their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. If you want the very basic essence of what God wants in our lives, it's trust Him. Do you trust Him? If you don't trust Him, if I don't trust Him, we will never be prosperous in anything that we do. As long as Uzziah trusted in the Lord with all his heart, God would direct his path toward prosperity. If that changed, then the plan will also be changing. Now look at, we're going to read a little bit lengthy passage here, beginning in verse 6. We need to cover his military experience. That's where things change. Now he went out and warred against the Philistines. He broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. These are major cities for the Philistines. I mean, he was like a general town. I mean, this guy, I bet you he had some great commercials when he was trying to run for re-election or something, you know, with him with a big old flag or something. I mean, this guy did what many kings could never do prior to him. He was taking the Philistines down, taking their capital out. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod among the Philistines. That's a huge thing. Boy, when they talked about Uzziah back then, I'm sure they were saying, boy, I tell you what, you better not mess with Uzziah. Watch what happens. God helped him against the Philistines. Wait a second, Uzziah. God did this for you? God's helping you? I hope he remembers that. And against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and the Meunites, and the Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. That's the warning sign. That is the warning sign. If you ever think you're strong, you better come up to a different conclusion, or something is going to happen. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem. At the corner gate and the valley gate, he built corner buttresses and fortified them. Wow, he's really powerful. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, and he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. Wow, he is really successful. Uzziah, you're the man. You really are. You're really strong. And he also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and fertile fields, and he loved the soil. Wow, he's a down-to-earth man. Wow, I'd vote for him. Wouldn't you vote for him? What a winner. Okay? Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared for battle. He says, prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Messiah, the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. And the total number of the heads of household of valiant warriors was 2,600. He had some pretty powerful troops there. Under their direction was an elite army, not some non-elite army, but an elite army of 307,500 crack squad. I mean, this guy, he was a pattern. Who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy? Well, I tell you, there's nothing that's going to stop him now. Surround a good man with a powerful army? Yeah, I dare anybody to try to do anything to him. Oh, there's more. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, slings, sling stones. I mean, this is a well-equipped army. In Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers, on the corners, for the purpose of shooting arrows, great stones. Hence, his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. God allowed him to be where he was at. This is the scariest point anyone can be in their life. They think they've done it themselves. It's called pride. This military that Uzziah assembled was quite the powerhouse. It was similar to what David had in 2 Samuel 24, where he had this huge army, and he numbered all the soldiers in a census. He had them numbered, and it was sinful. Well, the census isn't sinful. It is how he took it. He was numbering them so he could look out on his army and say, look it, I'm pushing the buttons on this. Man, I'm powerful. God says, I'm going to spank you for that. They had 3 days pestilence because of it. 2 Samuel 24, verse 10. Now David's heart was troubled. It troubled him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly. He trusted the military before he trusted God. Who fights the battles, according to the Bible? Man or God? If a man's ways are right with God, even his enemies shall be at peace with him. God's the one who fights the battles. And we say, doesn't the battle belong to the Lord? But not anymore with Uzziah. Went to his head. You remember Joshua 7, verses 2 through 5? The men went out and spied out Ai. You remember when they took out Jericho? Man, it was like, man, we are so powerful. Man, did you see that? We blew those trumpets, those walls came down, and they forgot who gave them that strength. The fact that Achan had taken some of the booty, they were not in right steps with God. So when they came to Ai, little tiny town, they said, oh, let's just give them 3,000. We're going in there, we'll bust some heads. Man, we are really powerful. The men of Ai killed 36 of them. 3,000 men running away from this little tiny group of people. It says the men of Ai struck 36 of their own men, pursued them as far as the gate of Shibera, and struck them down to the descent, so the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You want to know why? Because they trusted in themselves. They said, man, they got like 200. We could get 3,000 together. Man, we don't need any, but we could take this one. When just like a week before, they were terrified of Jericho. Man, we did this, they'll never go. It's amazing how many times God has delivered us from something, and then we forget. And then we think we're somebody. We do it all the time. Now note, this is interesting. Around the time of Uzziah's growing army and pride, his nation was humbled by a devastating earthquake in 750 B.C. Early 750 B.C. It is estimated by geologists that it was an 8.2 on the Richter scale based on the damage to the structures that they have unearthed at that time. 8.2. This was a devastating earthquake. Many people died. In fact, this earthquake earned the designation of definite article status, the earthquake, in Amos chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the words of Amos, who was among the sheep herders from Tekoa, which he envisioned in visions concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Not a earthquake, the earthquake. It was bad. It was devastating. I've never really been in like an earthquake. I felt the earth move one time. Just a little bit. But you ever see those on TV? The bad ones? When that ground starts going up and down and the building you're in is shaking, you ever see the people in the grocery stores on the cameras now? They're like shopping, all of a sudden Rice Krispies just all fly that way. And people are just terrified. People covered in hot sauce or something. Nothing says you are weak more than an earthquake. I don't care how big your army is. I don't care if you drive a Hummer and wear a hard hat everywhere you go. An earthquake will wake you up. Remember all those people in Pakistan not long ago? That earthquake shook the ground. Tens of thousands of them down. There might have even been Taliban plotting, saying, we will destroy the U.S. this way. And then that earthquake starts shaking, and the cave falls on top of them. I mean, it was a bad earthquake. And this was the earthquake. It's probably the worst earthquake that they have on record, at least that we know of. You know, normally this would make you lose a little bit of that pride. Not as I am. It's estimated that later on that year, same year, 750 B.C., when he was 57 years of age, Uzziah would experience a life-changing event that would find the root of his life. Look at verse 16 to 20. 16, well, actually, we need to go with verse 16. When he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him with 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they opposed Uzziah king and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest, the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will bring no honor from the Lord. But Uzziah, with the censer in his hand for burning incense, he was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Wow, what a game changer. Right there. And OxyContin is Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. Behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get out of it, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to David. He lived in a separate house. He was cut off from the Lord, from the house of Jezebel's son. He was over the king's house, judging. During these moments of strife, the earth had already shaken. He built up this army. He just saw a huge earthquake. He saw how his dad died. I mean, it's not like he didn't have experience in humility, but that still didn't help. Probably only months after that major earthquake, he pridefully goes in and tries to carry out the acts of a priest. Korah. Uzziah. Even when he was reminded by more than 80 priests. Now, imagine if everybody in this room was a priest and all of you said to me, Doug, get out of the auditorium now. I would probably maybe leave. But not him. He was so lifted up with pride that he was enraged at these men who represented God and where they were supposed to be. Jehovah is strength. This moment of enragement and leprosy formed on his forehead. That's the worst spot. That's the worst spot. You can't even cover it up. I mean, if you're going to have a blemish, have it on like at least like in the middle back or bottom of your foot, maybe in between the toes or something. But right there, you know what it's like, don't you? For that big date. You were a kid, you walk out, you look in that mirror last second, you realize that something's there that shouldn't be there. You might still have those. Now he has leprosy, and that's far worse than anything that we would have. Leprosy was a devastating disease because it required you to be separated from the population. Were to venture into town, you'd have to cry out, unclean, unclean. Imagine what it would be like if you just had a bad acne on your head and you have to zit, zit. Wouldn't you feel like a loser? Boil! No, you're trying to wear a turtleneck in July to cover that thing up. But he can't. They say pride comes before a fall, and it certainly does. For Uzziah, it's very, very true. We should heed this in our own lives. 1 Timothy 3, verse 6 tells us that an elder should not be a novice. This being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. The devil tried that pride then, and condemnation of it. The angels which kept out their own estate. They left their own habitation. They're also reserved in everlasting chains under the judgment of the great day. Proverbs 11:2 says, "Pride, when pride comes, there comes dishonor. With the humble is wisdom." 1 John 2:16, "For all is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Pride of life is not of the Father." Think about all the blessings that you have in your life. Think about all the things that God has delivered us to. Think about the last time that you had that ache, you had that cough. You said, "No, that is. It could be bad. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to draw closer to Him." And then you realize it wasn't anything because God made it nothing for you. And then you just walk away and you forget it. Or you prayed to God for that house or that car or that friend, that spouse. You pray to God, "Would you give me this, please? I need this. I'm appealing to you." And then you get it, and then you forget it. That's how it works. You get it, and then you forget it. That's man's wants. 2 Chronicles, verse 26, 22, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last. Prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave which belongs to the kings. For they said, "He is a leper." Jotham, his son, came to this place. Uzziah died in 739 BC. This mighty, mighty man who had an army that he could snap his fingers like that and take out a nation. He died on a lonely man in the outskirts of town. Away from his family. Yeah. King of pride. God has a way of reminding us of our limitations. I remember Clint Eastwood. I forget which one it was, but he says something that really stuck with me.
Well, a man's got to know his limitations.
Man's got to know his limitations. What was that, Unforgiven? Forgiven, I forget what it is. Go ahead, make my day, I don't care. But a man's got to know his limitations.
He's got to know his limitations.
Have you ever noticed that following your best days, like the days where you felt untouchable, you get touched in a way that you wish you weren't touched? Birthdays were bad for me. I hate my birthday. I do. Because like for 5 birthdays in a row, man, this is my day. It's my day. I'm going to do something. I'm going to take it easy. My birthday fell on the Super Bowl one year. I was going to watch the Giants game in my bed with my bag of popcorn. Yeah. It was my day. Church was over. Went over. TV right there on the dresser. I had my big bowl of popcorn that we just made. Man, this was going to be great because it's my birthday. Nobody's going to mess that up. Janet was cleaning picture frames that night. And she took the glass out of the frames. Okay? And the thing about glass is you can't see it until you hit it. And I went to get right in bed. I went to flop in the bed and scrape my leg right across here. I mean, it like stabbed it. I thought, what was that? And why is my leg cold? And I looked, and there was like Frankenstein gash in my leg. I mean, you know it's bad when you get whacked, and then it doesn't decide to bleed for about a minute? You know it's going to be a bad one? I called my friend. I said, Brad, I got to go to the hospital. We had little kids at home. Missed my birthday. Happy birthday, Doug. Doug got 42 birthday stitches in his leg there. And you know what? While I was in the ER room and that little curtain was pulled, I didn't watch the Super Bowl that night. I heard a guy have a heart attack next to me. It sounded like Darth Vader getting asthma medicine. That leg looked pretty good at that point. It did. Clear! And I'm looking at that saying, this ain't so bad. But my friend kept coming in. Say, this is the greatest game. You got to see it, Doug. I was there for 4 hours. 4 hours. And that wasn't the worst of the 5 birthdays, that night, the 5. Okay? And so, rule number one, if you think that you're untouchable, be prepared to be touched. That's rule number one. Rule number two, when you get touched, touch back. Reach for God. Do that. God may put you through something. And you may even be separated from your people. But you make the best of it. I would really like to think that Uzziah drew very close to God the last 11 years of his life. You know, in fact, I would say it's better to go out as a leper close to God than it is to be a mighty king away from him. He may have died away from his people, but he didn't die away from his God. And so, what do we learn from the king of pride? Not to be prideful. Take heed lest you fall. There's no temptation tempting you. That which is common to man, God is faithful. He won't suffer from you above that you're tempted. With that temptation, he'll provide a way to escape. So when you think things are going great, drop down on your knees and say, God, I don't ever want to forget that you brought me to great. I'll never stop worshiping you. Do you want to respond to the invitation? We offer it now for you. Understand.